I'm Jack Davis, this is Starsight Live, and our episode is all about karma and kundalini. First, we're going to hear from Sri M. Sri M is the founder of the Satsang Foundation, and he's a spiritual guide and guru. In my opinion, he's one of the most humble and effective communicators in this space. He understands that whilst he has experienced all kinds of things, often the people who are receiving his information and are asking him questions haven't. And he's very humble and self-aware in a way that others are not. Let's hear from Sri M about karma.
If you believe that there is a past, then we are conditioned by the past. And therefore, we are in a situation which is a result of such conditioning. Is it possible for us to free ourselves from it? Or is it possible for us to work out of it? This is roughly what we are trying to look at.
Beautiful. So the first thing that kind of binds us and limits what we can experience in life is our biological karma. It's what we receive from our mother and our father. My mother and my father came together and they looked different, and I look like a combination of the two of them. My mother and my father were public school teachers, and what do you know? I became a public school teacher. There are all kinds of unconscious ways in which our family line influences who we are. We might find that we have similar dreams as our parents. We might find that we have similar patterns in the relationships that we pursue, the kinds of people that we pursue. And a lot of this is unconscious. There's a stage of development in your teenage years where you really break away from your family and your parental influence, and you become what you think is your own identity, separate from them. This original version from you that's definitely not in any way influenced by them. But then you might look back decades later and realize, oh, I just lived out this pattern that I saw in them. Or, oh, I've got these neuroses that came from them. Or I have this self-belief that came from them. The karma that you can receive can be good, positive, supportive, or limiting, something that you need to work through. It just depends on what you've got and how you play with it, really. So that's the first aspect of karma. Karma is what you're dealing with. It's sort of the lot in life that you've been given. That's your karma. Now we're going to hear from Sri M about a little bit more about karma, different kinds of karma, and sort of pull out the nuance a little more.
Now the thing is, whether you believe in the past or whether you don't believe in past lives, the human being today, every human being today, is a result of millions of years of genetic evolution, biologically. Therefore, if I say I'm independent, I'm not. I'm linked to the amoeba down.
Awesome. So Sri M, I absolutely love the way that he communicates. He's not going to tell you that past lives are real. But he's just going to indicate that, you know, for him, they're real. He's experienced this stuff. He knows it to be true. And I love the humility there. But the second thing that Sri M is indicating and pointing towards is that it's not just the biological past that's influencing your present. It's also something of your soul's memory. So whilst you've got this layer of parental and family conditioning of all these humans on Earth that are influencing who you are today, your soul has also experienced all kinds of things in past lives. It has tapped into all kinds of strengths and potential. It has been stuck in all kinds of different places. And to me, this is what really validates the sense of who we are beyond our parents. Because there's three simple ways to look at your karma. There's biology, there's societal influence. So like what you were taught, how you were raised, that sort of nurture aspect rather than that nature aspect. And then there's your soul's past and your soul's identity and your soul's vision. As you really step into a spiritual path, that's what's going to get unlocked. That's what you're going to start tapping into more and more and more. And the question that's going to come up a lot as we look through different people speaking about karma and kundalini is, can you free yourself from your karma? And the answer is, yes, to some extent. There's some aspects of your karma and your conditioning that you don't need to stay locked into, but there are other parts of your karma, more the empowering ones, more the ones that come from a soul level that you're meant to experience, and you can't shed yourself from these. No matter what you do, no matter how deep you go, it's still going to come up. There are things that you're meant to experience in this lifetime. There are some things that are just a consequence of this chain of cause and effect. You don't need to be stuck there. You can do work to kind of escape that wheel of bondage, you might call it, but you can't escape what you're meant to experience. It's just the nature of the game. Next, we're going to hear from Sri M, and he's going to talk specifically about the soul's blueprint. So what this means is two things. On the one level, there's the blueprint of what you have experienced, but there's also a blueprint of what you're meant to experience in this lifetime.
The blueprint of all your past lives is already there in it. The yogi only can read it. You cannot read it. So the blueprint is seen in the emanations that come from you. And emanations, I don't want to use that word because now this is another business, aura reading. Everybody is reading the auras. It's not a joke. Something which only a real yogi can do.
Wonderful. So what Sri M is describing here is something that I've actually experienced. You can meet people who are very experienced in terms of their spiritual abilities and their perception. And what I've had come up for me is I'll meet someone and without saying a word to them, they will be able to sense energetically where I'm going in this lifetime. I am not going to say who I'm speaking about, but I remember meeting this person. It was like that they could tell that I was going to end up building this star sign thing, or that they could tell that I was going to end up successful, that I was going to end up in the public eye. And it sort of influenced how they interacted with me. And it was a very interesting thing to realize and experience. And what Sri M is pointing to here is people at that level of consciousness, at that level of awareness, with that level of perception, they can read that in you. And that thing that they're reading is really what your soul's trying to experience in this lifetime. And it's a bit like you can't mess it up. You can slow it down. You can change the way that it manifests, but you can't mess it up. And this is the second aspect of karma. The first aspect of karma is everything that you've brought in with you. You can't do much about that. The second aspect of karma is everything that you're meant to experience. You honestly can't do much about that either. And when you go through a spiritual path, when you activate Kundalini, as we'll speak about shortly, what you're doing is accelerating your shift away from past influences towards these future influences. So you're no longer stuck or stagnant doing something that's, from the perspective of your spiritual self, pointless. And you're starting to actually have the experiences and do the work that you're meant to do. This is why when you take on a spiritual practice, maybe you start a kriya, maybe you do kundalini yoga, you can do it in all kinds of different ways, things will start falling apart. And it's because you were on a path that was defined by your conditioning and your choices as your sort of lower human self. And now your life is starting to come forth in alignment with your higher spiritual self and what it wants to experience. And it sort of means that there might be a slightly abrasive period where things need to go and come into alignment with what you need to do. Just trust it. It's part of the process. I wrote a song about it if you're interested. Life is a wave. Check it out on Spotify. Now we're going to hear from Sadhguru.
So karma means till now whatever you did, the residual impact of that is definitely there upon your life. But this moment's karma is in your hands. Yesterday's karma, you cannot change. But this moment's karma is in your hands. This moment's karma could be a karma of freedom or of bondage. If you handle this moment in a certain way, you will be from everything that was yesterday. If you do not handle it that way, yesterday will rule you today.
I love this. So you can be totally stuck and defined by your past, or you can kind of consciously be aware of what's trying to play out in you and not feed it so much. I'm not convinced that you can totally escape your karma. I don't think that that's how it works at all, but you can definitely work against your conditioning, so to speak. I used to be really overweight. There's nothing wrong with being overweight. I just mentioned that because I had a lot of karma built up. I had a lot of conditioning. I had a lot of habits and tendencies built up, and they were very hard to break. And to be honest, I didn't really break them. I respect what Sadhguru is communicating here. I've engaged with Sadhguru. He's a great communicator. He has practices that you can learn. They're very helpful. But I've been more strongly influenced, I would say, by Jiddu Krishnamurti and by non-dual teachers. And really what they're encouraging you to do is nothing. Rather than trying to fix your problems, you dispassionately observe these patterns playing out. And that's essentially how I was able to conquer my attachment to eating a lot of food, particularly high-calorie, sugary food. I didn't stop myself at all. I just brought the awareness that I was building a foundation towards in meditation. I don't really like that term, but I was certainly becoming more acclimatized to awareness and consciousness. And I just brought that into parts of my life that previously were unconscious. And suddenly those unconscious tendencies became conscious. And I didn't have to stop eating a lot of nuts or eating a bunch of custard tarts, whatever was my, you know, prerogative at the time. I just had to see that this was a pattern that kept coming up in me again and again and again. And eventually it lost its hold on me. And the same happened with my career, to be honest. I decided to become a teacher. I thought that that was my own, you know, choice of my own volition and free will. But certainly there were the biological influences of my family members who were teachers playing out there. And I got to a point in my spiritual awakening where a bunch of psychedelic experiences made it very clear to me that this is not what I want to do at all. And it was like this higher soul level aspect of myself was really coming online and was kind of saying, Jack, you might mess this up for us unless you look at this and you start to address the choices that you've made, because these choices came from your conditioning, but we need you to start making choices that are actually in line with your authentic soul level essence. And guys, it doesn't happen overnight. It was 5 years for me to get from that to where I am now. And I'm only just starting to step into this now. So there's some aspects of your conditioning, as Sadhguru is saying, that you can just decide not to engage with, but it's a longer term endeavor. It's a longer term endeavor. So we've learned about the two main aspects of karma. There are the influences that come from the past. This is your biology, but it's also the memory and identity of your soul. Then there are the aspects of your karma that you need to experience in the future. This is your soul's blueprint. And when you do that work and you step through your karma, you'll end up at a place where you're really embodied in what you're meant to do in this lifetime and in the work that you're meant to do. That's called your dharma. There's a reason that those two words rhyme. They're related terms. And what we're going to look at now is kind of how you might get there, particularly if you're on a high-level spiritual path and you're really experiencing these energies of ascension, or you want to see like as much as you can experience in this incarnation. You're probably going to want to accelerate this process so that you can get out of your conditioning as much as is possible and get into what you're meant to experience. And this is where a term called Kundalini comes into play. So now I'm going to hear from Sadhguru, and he's going to define Kundalini.
So what is Kundalini? Right now, I'm speaking. This is Kundalini. You are alert and listening. If you are alert and listening, that is Kundalini. A flower is blossoming. That is Kundalini. A dog is barking. That is also Kundalini. Or in other words, the fundamental life force in the existence, we call it Kundalini.
Amazing. So I like that Sadhguru is trying to really ground this in a scientific reality first. So he's explaining that to the yogis, to a bunch of Eastern practitioners, all kinds of traditions everywhere, they've understood that there's the one life energy. And when we have children as humans and we procreate and populate the earth, we're kind of reproducing not only the human form, but it's the energy that created your parents that is creating you. And that energy is going through that family line and continuing down through time. But there's an aspect of Kundalini that I would say is more powerful and more refined. And this is a common theme that you're going to notice in esoteric concepts and in spiritual teachings. We're moving away from the gross level. So that's the obvious, clear, physical, sort of hammer on the head kind of level of reality, towards these more subtle, dreamlike layers. We're talking, you know, frequency, vibration, energy. It's up there in a more subtle space. And so Kundalini exists on that gross physical level, but it really shines and operates in these higher energetic, subtle dimensions of life and dimensions of consciousness. Let's hear again from Sadhguru.
Now, within the system, within the human system, if you look at this as a kind of a life package, it's a piece of life. This piece of life is packed in a certain way with layers of this energy. One dimension of energy comes alive immediately because that is necessary for your survival process. The other dimensions of energy will not come alive unless you do something about it. Unless you're aware of it and activate it in a certain way, they do not come into existence. They remain dormant.
So the question then becomes, how would one activate these dormant layers of their energy and of their consciousness? I can say with confidence, I have tried everything I could possibly try. And every practice, every modality, every methodology, assuming it's authentic, is doing the exact same thing. It's taking you from that karmic limitation, those biological constraints, as well as the soul level constraints, and accelerating you towards what you're meant to experience in this lifetime, and making you more attuned and powerful in the process. I used to not be able to sense crystal energies. I thought that they were simply inert pieces of matter. And in a matter of years, I've gone from picking up a crystal and feeling nothing and believing that it's just a visualization practice to being able to hold this one in my hand and feeling crazy energetic activations in my crown and in my third eye. It feels like I'm using a psychedelic. And different practices that I have tried have had different kinds of effects on me. Some of them have stabilized my energy. Some of them have made me less compulsive. Others have felt like more like true activations. And they all work synchronistically and they all synergize with each other. And it's what I'd like to share with you that's very important to understand is, even though there are different kinds of traditions and different kinds of practices, even though one teacher may tell you that there are five energy bodies, and another teacher may tell you there are seven, and someone else might speak about the light body, it's all the same thing. Different practices, different practitioners, different traditions, they've simply mapped it and modeled it in a different way. But your journey is always your own. No one can control your journey, and certainly no one has a right to control your journey. Your karma is your own. And in my experience, the most powerful tool, the most powerful methodology that I have worked with is the Akashic Records. And I'm excited to announce on the show that I am releasing my Akashic Records services. There are a couple of key different things that the Akashic Records can do for you. One is that they can give you specific information on your life, your path, and your karma. They'll let you know where you're stuck. They'll let you know where you're meant to go. They can literally answer anything. Anything you can think of, the Akashic Records can answer. They're limited only by the mind and preconceptions of your reader. And believe me, your reader, Jack Davis, I have been around the block. I know how these things work. I know how different practices work. I'm grounded in science and intellect, and I'm also open energetically. And I can confirm and I can say to you with confidence that my journey with the Akashic Records activated for me in a matter of months what the rest of my spiritual path and practice took years to do. It's an incredibly rapid modality. It's not really a modality, and it's not really the Akashic Records. That's just a name that we give to it. It's a dimension of consciousness that's far beyond even the traditions of spirituality that we have on Earth. We're always just tapping into something and trying to understand it as best as we can. And what I love about the Akashic Records is that they're non-denominational. They work with any guides, any concept, any path, any guru, any teacher, any ascended master. There's nothing out there that is higher dimensional than the Akashic Records. The model that we use when we talk about the Akashic Records is this 3D into 5D model, the Akashic Records beginning in the fifth dimension, but then this 5D into 12D model, having this understanding that ultimately consciousness is one, so to speak. Ultimately, source consciousness is singular. And at the 12th dimension, there is no separation, there is no fragmentation. And as you go down from 12D into 5D, there are more and more layers of separation, there's more and more diversity, there's more and more individuation. And as you get down then into 5D and 3D, it's a very physical-like experience. It feels very dense. And the Akashic Records are activating you on whatever level you need to be activated on. There's a reason that this episode was on karma and kundalini. Karma is your limitation, and kundalini is the way in which you activate it. And the Akashic Records work with kundalini just as everything else works through kundalini, because kundalini is just a name for this life force that's permeating through all dimensions of consciousness. With that in mind, if you're interested in accelerating your path, accelerating your ascension, accelerating your spiritual awakening, if you're interested in getting unstuck, unblocked, and being put on the path that you're meant to be in this lifetime, I would strongly recommend that you sign up with me for an Akashic Records mentorship. My mentorships are offered 3 months at a time, and you'll benefit from all of the knowledge of my mind, all of my practical experience and guidance, all of the practices and tools that I've learned about I can share with you. And of course, we can read your Akashic Records. You'll be connecting not to me, but to your guides and to your records and to your higher self. And the records are not just about information, they're about activation. I have finally stepped into my path after a few months of working with the Akashic Records. Hi, I'm Jack from the future, just popping in to finish this podcast episode. Wow, I've learned quite a lot making this podcast episode, and I don't at all mean about the mechanics of video production. I've been going through what I've been sharing with you, and your spiritual path, your kundalini awakening, it's never static. You never finish. And through the course of filming this episode and recording it in a couple of batches and releasing shorts the whole way through, I've really discovered more about how my persona interacts with the collective. Certain things that certain people seem to take issue with, you know, specifically clothes that I wear, or the fact that I'm white or younger than a lot of teachers in the spiritual space. And it's been good. It's been a great experience. And I've really learned to back myself through this, and that I can be more confident in what I've been through. Spirituality is no longer something for a monk in Tibet or a yogi in the Himalayas alone. It's for all of us. And it's for all of us to pursue consciously if we so choose. And you know, I feel good about the choices I'm making at this stage. I'm obviously not bound by the choices I'm making forever, but I think it's good to have fun and not take yourself so seriously. And the more that you can literally not dress like you're some kind of a guru and that you're some kind of a normal person who's having fun, I think that's honest and authentic. And I will continue to be honest and authentic as I go forth with this project. And to put it simply, I'll stay humble, but I know that I have a lot to offer, and I know that my perspective and my words and my voice are just as valuable as the people who I react to, and that my services, the modalities that I use, just the intellectual work, the guidance that I do, you know, the skills that I have as an academic and as an educator, they have value. And you'll go through the same thing. As you consciously work with your karma, and you play with your conditioning, keep what you need, get rid of what you don't need, step onto the path that is really your highest path, your highest contribution to the world, your most self-actualized life, you'll go through the exact same stuff. And it doesn't happen in a single moment. You know, it's been 5 years for me to get from being mostly unconscious. You could argue it was seven, you could argue it's been my whole life, but it's been five you know, years of really focusing on this to get here. And I'm only just starting, and it will never end. So that's my summation of karma and kundalini. You can see what it looks like as a work in progress for me, and you can taste and consider what it will look like as a work in progress for you. And yeah, I just wanted to end this episode in a really raw, authentic manner as a bit of a time capsule to reflect to my core audience, because I know that this is going to stay accessible over time, exactly what it was like to be me navigating this stage of my path. And, you know, you just commit and accept and focus on what you know is right for you. And I don't mean delusion. I don't mean ego. I don't even mean intuition. You just do whatever you know works. If that's a practice, if that's a non-practice, if that's a state of consciousness, if it's choiceless awareness, whatever it is for you that you know is really your guiding light, connecting to your higher self, you just do that. You don't worry about other people's reactions. There's no obligation to be liked. There's no obligation to be respected. The only thing that you need to make sure you do is fulfill your highest life path. That's what you owe yourself. It's why you're here, and it's what we need. Everything else is irrelevant. So yeah, I hope you learned a lot and enjoyed this very simple introduction to karma and kundalini. These are terms that are going to remain relevant over the longer term. Thank you so much. I'm Jack Davis. This has been Starside Life.